Now, after supposedly proving that the promises do not and never did pertain to any of the Jewish race, any of Abraham's literal physical seed, Mr. Lumley goes on to say this, quote, "The implications of this truth are astounding. How often do we hear God's promise of blessing to Abraham used to support any and all Jewish causes?" And he quotes Genesis 12:3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Then he says, "Taking into account Paul's teaching in Romans, to which of Abraham's descendants do these promises apply? Do they apply to Abraham's ethnic descendants or to his spiritual descendants? When God said he would bless those who bless Abraham and curse those who curse him, to whom was God referring? Was his promise to apply only to his physical descendants? Does it apply to all his physical descendants? Does Genesis 12:3 oblige us to bless unsaved Jews in any way?" And the answer is no. That's his answer. That's what he wants to hear from you. First, he quotes questions which demand the answer he wants to hear. He says, when God says those who bless Abraham would be blessed and those who curse him would be cursed, he says, to whom was God referring? Does that promise apply only to the physical descendants? Does Genesis 12:3 obligate us to bless unsaved Jews in any way? And the answer is no. Of course, no. You don't have to bless the Jews in any way. I say, well, if God said in the Old Testament about blessing Abraham, that's nothing to do with biological Jews. If nobody's obligated to bless the Jews today, then who's to say it's wrong to curse the Jews? I mean, after all, the Jews have no special relationship with God anymore, right? As a matter of fact, according to Lumley, they were never God's chosen people. The promises never belonged to them or applied to them. They only applied to Christ, right? So, you know, why shouldn't people curse the Jews today? On what basis should we say you shouldn't curse the Jews? Now he tries to cover himself. He says, you know, he's not suggesting in any way that God is finished with the Jewish people. Far from it. God specifically promises to restore a remnant of physical Jews in the last days. And then he quotes a passage in Romans chapter 11 that talks about God saving them. All right? And then he says this, "It is undeniable that God has gathered from all nations the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and set them once again in the land of promise. This is no accident of history. It is indisputable that many of the ancient prophecies are being fulfilled by the ethnic Jews returning to the land." Well, that sounds good, don't it? "However," he says, "since God's word is true and cannot be a lie, and since God no longer considers ethnicity as a factor in determining who a Jew is, then the return of these Jews by birth to their physical promised land cannot be the only true fulfillment of these end time prophecies." You probably don't catch it right away, but Mr. Lumley is teaching a very subtle form of replacement theology. See, replacement teachers say that God has nothing to do with the restoration of today's Jews to the land of Israel because God will no more deal with ethnic Jews as a separate, special race of people. You know, as a race that's any better or any worse than any other race. See, like Mr. Lumley, they do not deny that God will save Jews at the end of this age. What they deny is that God's going to do a special work of salvation among the Jewish people because they are ethnic Jews, and ethnic Jews are still special in his eyes. That's what they deny. See, just like replacement teachers, Mr. Lumley denies that ethnic Jews are special in any way to God. He thinks God looks at ethnic Jews the same way he looks at every other ethnic group that's lost and needs salvation. And since the Jews are no longer special, when God saves some of them in the last days, it won't be because they're Jews and they're still special in his eyes. It'll just be because God intends to save a lot of people from different ethnic groups at that time. And the salvation of ethnic Jews will just be one, you know, aspect of that overall program that's being worked out, the state of all kinds of groups and all kinds of people. This is why Mr. Lumley can say that God fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament by bringing ethnic Jews back to the land, even though he no longer considers ethnicity a factor in determining who is a Jew. He's doing that even though ethnic Jews are no more special to him than other ethnic groups, like the Germans or the Italians, the Dutch, Africans, Canadians, or Arabs. He's talking about replacement theology. He's double-talking, inserting the idea, the concept of replacement theology, on top of words that seem to be pro-Israel. All right? He goes on to say that since God no longer considers ethnicity as a factor in determining who is a Jew, the return of today's ethnic Jews, quote, cannot be the only true fulfillment of these end time prophecies. The idea is that God no longer considers ethnicity as a factor determining who's a Jew. Actually, a fundamental point of replacement theology, see? As a matter of fact, without that foundational concept, the whole doctrine of replacement theology would collapse. It's built on the idea that the Jews are no longer special in any way, and whatever God does with them, he will do something with them in the end times, but whatever he does with them is no different than what he's doing with the Italians and the Germans and the French. He's going to be doing the same thing with all of them. It just so happens that Jews will be one of those groups. And that idea is a fundamental basis for replacement theology. And that's exactly what Lumley's teaching. Now, the replacement teachers, they say all these prophecies in the Old Testament regarding the return of the ethnic Jews to the literal land, they're just a picture of something else, because they don't believe God's talking about ethnic Jews coming back to a literal land. That can't be. So they say that all those prophecies, they're just a picture of something else. And that something else is the New Testament church. When God says he's going to bring the Jews back to Israel, he's not talking about ethnic Jews coming back to a literal land. He's talking something about the church in the New Testament. God's going to do something with the church. And that's the only logical conclusion you can draw if that's what you believe about the Jews. If you believe they're no more special, they're no different than anybody else, okay, all that kind of stuff. And that's what Mr. Lumley is saying also. But because he doesn't want to be seen as a replacement teacher, as teaching replacement theology, he can't take his view of the Jews, which is exactly the same as replacement people, to its logical conclusion. They can, because they're not trying to hide the fact that they're preaching replacement theology. They're proud of it. They announce it and prove it by the scripture. See, he's trying to hide what he's doing. He's trying to cover what he's doing. So he can't take the same points that they take and go to their logical conclusion because he doesn't want to be in their camp. So he takes the same points they take and comes to another illogical conclusion. So he knows he can't come out and deny that God is the one who's been bringing these ethnic Jews back to Israel for the last 60 years. So what he says is, the prophecies regarding the literal Jews coming back to a literal land, they have a dual fulfillment. A dual fulfillment, and the second fulfillment is the most important one. Okay? The first fulfillment is a literal one, and it relates to ethnic Jews. Somehow, even though God is no longer considering ethnicity a factor in determining who a Jew is, he's still bringing ethnic Jews back to Israel. But the second fulfillment is a spiritual fulfillment, and that has to do with the church. God is bringing Christians out of the apostate church system and into their spiritual promised land. Now, by saying the prophecies have a dual fulfillment, what Mr. Lumley can do is he can diminish the importance of what God's doing with ethnic Jews right now without actually denying it, he's doing it with them. And at the same time, shift people's focus away from that and get it on this idea that God's fulfilling his spiritual promises to real Jews as Christians through those promises. You see, he won't go so far as say, no, that's not talking about the Jews. Replacement people will. They'll say, nope, none of those prophecies are about the Jews. Forget it. It's about the church. He don't want to do that. It's going too far for him. That'd be too obvious what he's teaching. So he said, no, there's a dual fulfillment. He's still talking about the Jews, yes, but that's not really what he's talking about. He's really talking about the church. And so you de-emphasize the Jewish part, you emphasize the church part, and people walk away basically with the same attitude towards the Jews. That's how slick it is. At this point, it's good to go back and review some of the points in this article that Lumley brings out. Or let's first, actually, we should review the ones replacement teachers teach. What do replacement teachers teach about ethnic Jews? According to replacement teachers, ethnic Jews are no longer special. According to them, ethnic Jews can no longer be called the chosen people. No longer chosen people. According to replacement teachers, Christ alone is the seed of Abraham. The physical descendants of Abraham, that is ethnic Jews, they have never been the seed. They're not the seed now, they've never been the seed. It's always been Christ. Also, replacement teachers say that God no longer considers ethnicity a factor in determining who is a Jew. So the only people God considers a Jew right now are those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's what replacement theology teaches. Okay? And any honest person who looks at those doctrines could see that the only logical outcome of these concepts with regards to the prophecies in the Old Testament, which talk about Jews being restored to their land, that could not be applied to ethnic Jews. It could only be applied to real Jews, that is Christians. That's the outcome of those points. Okay? Now let's consider what Mr. Lumley has taught in this article so far. He teaches all those four points. He says the Jews are no longer special. He says they're no longer the chosen people. He says Christ alone is the seed of Abraham. Ethnic Jews never have been that seed, and they're certainly not that seed today. And he also teaches that God no longer considers ethnicity as a factor in determining who is a Jew, right? The only people he considers a Jew are believers. They could be Jewish believers or Gentile believers, but you have to be in Christ to be considered a Jew by God. Now, since those 4 points are the same, he's teaching exactly what the replacement people do. The outcome of his doctrine should be the same as it is from the replacement teachers. But he doesn't want to be seen as a replacement teacher, so he refuses to let his view of the Jews, which matches exactly replacement theology, lead into the same logical conclusion that replacement teachers have come to. Instead, he draws his own illogical conclusion from those same 4 points and says that ethnic Jews returning to Israel in our day cannot be the true fulfillment of these end-time prophecies. So according to him, God must be fulfilling those prophecies in some deeper spiritual way. The only difference between the standard teaching of replacement theology and Lumbly's more subtle version is that he says he believes in a dual fulfillment of the prophecies about Israel returning to the land and Jews coming back to Israel. Those who teach replacement theology maintain there's a single fulfillment only of all those prophecies. And that fulfillment has only to do with New Testament church. Has nothing to do with the Jews. All right? Now, even though Mr. Lumbly says he believes in a dual fulfillment of those prophecies, after reading his article, you might be wondering how he can believe in a literal fulfillment of those prophecies when he thinks the only Jews God recognizes in the New Testament are born-again believers. If the only Jews God recognizes today are those who have been redeemed, then the prophecies in the Old Testament, which talk about ethnic Jews, cannot be taken literally. If you take them literally and apply them to ethnic Jews, you're contradicting, he's contradicting his own teaching right there. You can't say that God no longer sees anybody as Jews but people who are washed in the blood, and then turn around and say God's bringing ethnic Jews back to Israel. He'd be opposing his own view. His own view, he clearly said, God no longer considers ethnicity as a factor in determining who is a Jew. The only Jew is the one who's a Christian. Well, how could God bring ethnic Jews back to Israel in accordance to all those prophecies when he no longer considers ethnicity a factor in determining who's a Jew? That's illogical. It's unreasonable. It's religious insanity. If God no longer considers ethnicity and the only real are Christians, well, then why is the Lord bringing millions of Christians back to Israel instead of millions of Jews? Why is he bringing unbelievers? That is, why is he bringing ethnic Jews he doesn't consider to be Jews to Israel and not believers, Christians, who he considers to be Jews? Why is he bringing the unbelievers back who he don't see as Jews and bringing instead of believers who he does see as Jews? What's the purpose of all this? Well, this is Mr. Lumbly's answer. He says, the question that naturally follows all this is, what part then does the secular state of Israel play in end time events? Here's what I believe God has shown me. And he quotes 1 Corinthians 10. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Then he says, the Old Testament writings all point toward Christ as the coming Messiah. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that the things that happened to the physical Jews were to be examples unto us. We are that generation upon whom the ends of the world has come. When we read what happened to the Jews physically, we must understand that these same things happen to us spiritually. God always works in types or patterns down through history. Everything that happened to Israel in the natural happens to us spiritually. I believe that remains true today. That remains true today. He is still using natural Israel as an example to us. They are a vivid example of what not to do. So the God who no longer considers ethnic Jews as real Jews has, nevertheless, gathered ethnic Jews back to Israel so they will continue to be a bad example for today's Christians. Just as the Apostle Paul pointed the Corinthian believers to the failure of Old Testament Israel as an example that they should not follow, so the Apostle Lumbly now points today's believers to the failure of today's Israelis as an example that we should not follow. Then he elaborates on this whole idea for the rest of the article. And he tries to show that on a natural level, today's secular state of Israel is making the same mistakes ancient Israel made, which is trying to make peace with their enemies and all that kind of stuff. And all this correlates as well with what's happening on a spiritual level with regards to the church. There's certainly some of that's true. What's going on in natural Israel, there is a correlation with what's going on in the church. So then he gets down to the end of his article. And this is what he says right near the end of the article, and they're making all these correlations, which are true, but don't take away the fact he's preaching replacement theology. He says, quote, all the physical promises given to natural Israel are played out spiritually in spiritual Israel. These promises are fulfilled in Christ. Since every prophecy concerning physical Israel actually points to Christ, the Messiah, these prophecies are fulfilled spiritually in God's new covenant people, that's Christians, those through which Christ lives today. Then he quotes about Galatians. Paul says, I live, nevertheless, Christ lives in me. Okay. Then he says, the idea that ethnic Jews have some kind of special relationship with God outside of Christ prevents fulfilling its mission to take the gospel into all the world, which includes unsaved ethnic Jews. Then he quotes Romans 1:16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then he says, quote, the blind shepherds of the apostate church are teaming up with the blind leaders of natural Israel to lead God's people into unholy alliances with organizations that are hostile to the gospel. Claiming to love the Jewish people, their actions prove otherwise. If they really loved the Jewish people, they would tell them that their Messiah was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. If they really loved them, they would tell them that their adherence to the Torah is worthless without a sacrifice. True love would disregard the persecution and hostility to tell them that the only sacrifice God would ever accept is the sacrifice of his son on the cross 2,000 years ago. Then he quotes Luke 6-9, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? So he's saying the blind leaders of natural Israel and the blind shepherds of the apostate church are leading all these people in the ditch. Okay, I could dissect some of this. Because you need to dissect it, because he's claiming he's not teaching replacement theology, but he is. This is what he says about the Old Testament prophecies regarding ethnic Jews, okay, literal Israel. He says, quote, every prophecy concerning physical Israel points to Christ and is fulfilled in New Testament Christians, okay? Now, how many prophecies are included in the term every? When he says every prophecy concerning physical natural Israel points to Christ and is fulfilled in Christians, how much is every? Does the phrase every prophecy mean every prophecy, or does it mean some prophecies? Okay, unless words have lost their meaning, the phrase every prophecy means every prophecy. Every prophecy concerning physical Israel has been fulfilled in Christians. When Mr. Lummi says he believes every prophecy concerning Israel points to Christ and is fulfilled by Christians, he means it. He means every prophecy. I don't think he's just exaggerating to make a point, to make a greater impact on those who are reading that article. So if every prophecy concerning ethnic Jews points to Christ as fulfilled by Christians, how many of those prophecies in the Old Testament are yet to be fulfilled by or through ethnic Jews? The answer is zero. According to Mr. Lumbly, there are zero Old Testament prophecies concerning the Jewish race, ethnic Jews, physical Israel, which are yet to be fulfilled. He also said that all the physical promises given to natural Israel are spiritually in spiritual Israel. Then he says these promises are fulfilled in Christ. Okay? All the physical promises given to natural Israel are fulfilled in Christ and played out in spiritual Israel. How many promises regarding national Israel do you think are included in the term all? Does the phrase all the promises mean some of the promises or what? Well, it means all, unless words have no meaning. So according to Mr. Lumbly, how many literal promises regarding the nation of Israel, national Israel, the ethnic Jews, how many of those have yet to be fulfilled? Again, the answer is zero. There are zero promises and zero prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled regarding Jews, natural Israel. Now, anyone want to take a guess at what the most basic definition of replacement theology is? What's the most basic definition of replacement theology? Well, the most basic definition of replacement theology has just been given to us by Mr. Lumbly himself. Prophetically, national Israel's history. It's history. All the promises God gave to national Israel, that is the Jews, have been or shall be fulfilled by the church. All the prophecies spoken about national Israel or the Jews have been or shall be fulfilled by the church. That, my friends, is replacement theology. I don't care what else he says. I don't care how much he denies it. He's preaching replacement theology. The Jewish race is history as far as prophecies and prophecy go. There's nothing left to be done to the Jews prophetically. Or as far as promises. That is replacement theology. Next he says, blind shepherds of the apostate church are teaming up with blind leaders of natural Israel to lead God's people into unholy alliances with organizations that are hostile to the gospel. Now we're getting to the heart of this whole matter, this whole issue. we're getting to really to the root of why Mr. Lumbly preaches what he does and feels the way he does and sees the things the way he sees them. Mr. Lumbly is an apostasy watcher, and his theological view of ethnic Jews doesn't lend itself to too much pity or too much mercy towards them. And therefore, he's against getting too chummy with ethnic Jews, unsaved ethnic Jews, unless you're going to evangelize them. That's the only justification or reason you can get chummy with an unsaved Jew is to evangelize them. Because of his replacement views, he's basically preaching replacement theology. It makes his blood boil when he sees church leaders encouraging Christians to bless people who hate Christ. He's an apostasy watcher. His job, as far as he's concerned, is to expose all these people who are leading people away from Christ, who are compromising with things that are against Christianity, and the Jews are just one of those things. He has no concept of what God's doing with the Jews. He can't stand it when Christian leaders encourage Christians to support Jewish organizations or anything that's not Christian because, of course, they're against the gospel. They're hostile to the gospel. It drives him crazy knowing that each year millions and millions of dollars are donated by Christians to Jewish causes and Jewish organizations that don't accept Jesus. It drives him crazy. Because of his doctrinal error regarding the Jews, he thinks that supporting or donating money to Israel or to Jewish causes is the same as entering into an unholy alliance with somebody. See, he has no concept that the Jews are different than the Italians and the Germans and the French, you know, the Africans and the average everybody else. They're still different. They're not saved. They're lost. They're cut off. But they're still God's people. He's still dealing with as his people. And they are special. They are not on the same level as Germans and Italians and French. They're not. And because he thinks they are, he's blind to what God's doing right now. And he's hard towards them. He hates the fact that so many Christians are supporting Christian groups that don't evangelize Jews the way he thinks they should evangelize. See, the only thing he thinks you should do with a Jew is preach to him. That's it. And once you preach to him, what are you going to do? No, walk away. Forget him. You shouldn't be involved with him. There's Christian groups out there that don't major on evangelizing Jews. And he goes into orbit when he sees Christians getting involved with them and donating to them and all that kind of stuff. He thinks they should be evangelizing. That's the only thing you should do to the Jews is evangelize them. But what really gets under his skin, what really gets to him, is this idea that ethnic Jews have some kind of special deal. That's his words. That's his term. Jews who think they have a special deal with God outside of Christ are deceived. That's his, he says it over and over again. Special deal. That's what really gets under his skin. When people think that Jews have some kind of special deal with God outside of Christ, that's the root of all these other things that irritate him. The reason church leaders encourage people to support Israel, to support the Jewish state, support Jewish causes, get involved with organizations that are, quote, against the gospel, is because they think the Jews are still God's chosen people. They're still special. And that's a religious deception in Mr. Lumbly's view, because ethnic Jews, according to him, are not God's chosen people in any sense. They're not special in any sense. They're nothing. And whatever he does with them at the end of the age, he's only going to do with them like he does to everybody else. And at this point, he tries to cover his obvious disgust that he has for ethnic Jews by turning the table and saying that Christians who form unholy alliances with Jewish organizations that are, of course, hostile to the gospel, they're actually hurting the very Jews they're trying to help because all such alliances prevent them from sharing the gospel. So if you organization, it's a Christian organization that doesn't focus on evangelization, or if it's a Jewish organization that's not saved, then you're actually hurting the cause of sharing the gospel. He says, if Christians really love Jews, if we really love the Jews, then we'd tell them that their Messiah was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, and that their adherence to the Torah is worthless without a sacrifice. So in his mind, the only obligation of the Christian person towards the Jew, the ethnic Jew, is to present them with the gospel. That's our only obligation to them. That's it. We're not obligated to support their secular state. We're not obligated to support any of their causes. We're not obligated to defend them in any way. The only way we can and should bless them is by presenting the gospel to them. And anybody that does anything else is getting involved in entangling themselves in an unholy alliance. Well, that's not exactly what my Bible says. Isaiah 40, 1 through 2 says this. Isaiah 40 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for our sins. Now, you got to understand where this is taking place. This passage is taking place at the end of the age. And when God says, comfort ye my people, he's talking to those who are believers at this point, as Christians. He's saying, Christians, comfort ye my people, the Jews, who are going through all this stuff, who have been judged by God, who have received double for iniquity at God's hand. Okay, he's saying, you Christians at the end of the age, comfort ye my people. So we have, as Christians, we have an obligation to do more than simply preach to the Jews. God's asking us, through the prophet Isaiah, to comfort the Jews as well. And the comfort Isaiah refers to is not preaching the gospel. It's very clear. The comfort he's talking about is, he says, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double. That's nothing to do with preaching the gospel. And so that's one of the things the Bible says, we're to comfort Jerusalem and comfort the people. Not ignore the fact that they're lost, not get entangled in Judaism, but comfort them. Romans 11, 28 through 31 says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and the coin of God are without repentance, for as ye in times past have not believed, yet now obtain mercy through their unbelief, even so also now not have these believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. Listen to what Paul said about the Jews being our enemies. He said the Jews are our enemies when it comes to gospel. They certainly are, because they have rejected the gospel, and God has blinded them as a result. So when you try to share the gospel with Jews, don't be surprised if they reject you. They reject it out of hand. But even so, said Paul, even so, regardless of how hard and blinded Jews are, regardless that they're a bunch of Christ haters, regardless that they or their organizations are the enemies of the gospel, Paul says, I'm asking you to have mercy on them so that someday, through your mercy, they will obtain the mercy of God. So those who love the Jewish people desire to help them any way they can, they are much more pleasing to God than a hard-nosed Bible teacher like Steve Lumley, who doesn't love them, who has no mercy or compassion on them, and who won't do a thing for them except preach the gospel. If the Lord allows me, I'd like to do more on this next week, because this was an article from over 5 years ago. Lumley just did a series on Israel just this last month, and he brings out even more teaching that shows he's teaching in place of theology. But anyway, he ends this article by saying this. He says, so the next time you hear some well-meaning Christian tell you that unsaved ethnic Jews are, quote, the apple of God's eye, or that if we don't bless natural Israel, we'll face the wrath of God, stop and think, who is Israel? And who is really a Jew according to the word of God? Well, of course, you know what he's saying there. He's saying, don't pay attention to them. Next time somebody says you got to bless Israel, don't pay attention, because Jews aren't Israel. According to the word of God, according to God's view, Jews aren't Israel. You don't have to bless them. Well, personally, I'd rather bless ethnic Jews than have that kind of attitude he has towards them. Man, when he stands before God on Judgment Day, he's going to be ashamed at all the error he's been teaching. He ain't going to be happy and dancing on the day of the Lord. Believe me, he's going to be ashamed. And anybody like him that's preaching that garbage is going to be ashamed. All right, if you're interested next week, I'm going to try and go through the audios, because there's even more stuff in there. I just can't stand people who say they're not teaching something they are. Just come out and say what you're teaching. Okay, just be honest. If you're teaching this, say you're teaching. Don't teach something internally, I'm not really teaching that. That is so wicked and dishonorable. Okay, well, I guess that's it. Anybody have anything to share? Or anybody, any questions to ask or anything like that? Or any comments? Or okay. None of you guys out there have anything? No. Okay. Did everybody understand what I was saying? Did you all get what I was saying there? Can you see that he is teaching replacement theology? If you need more proof, I'm going to give it to you next week. All right. Well, if nobody has anything, I guess we'll shut her down. I appreciate you all coming. And I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.